Hello and welcome to the 26th ever Plebs on Footy podcast. As always, I'm joined by Scott Fotheringham.
Good to be here, Banjo, but we have another producer who's fallen down.
Yep, it seems like we can't keep any producer around. We seem to inject everyone with some commitment issues. It's not great.
Look, we'll give Whitey an excuse this time. He is working, but so he's a little bit better.
What
than
do you think Liam. He
Liam's
does when
a
he's
bastard.
Here?
We hate Liam.
Oh no, he is in the room next door watching Netflix.
That's
not acceptable.
At least he listens.
Yeah,
we can give him that.
Unlike the other man in the room who actually contributes to the podcast.
At least he's here.
Stringer Bell.
Exactly right. At least I'm here, man.
So everyone get excited. We've got Stringer's Innovations again. Yep. The best thing we've ever done on the pod by a long way. I'll be honest with you.
Yep. The best, except for some lost footage. We had some lost footage.
Yeah, that was quite good.
Anyway, how'd you find the bye week?
I actually didn't mind it as much as I thought I probably would.
Mm.
Like, I was the same as everyone else, that you were a bit flat and you're like, yeah, this sucks. But, like, I'm really, really excited for footy now. And I love the fact it's on a Thursday. I don't think it's killed momentum. I think I'm more excited due to it. And I also, like, I watched the All-Australian Thursday night. Enjoyed that. Watch a Legends game Friday night. I enjoyed that. I didn't manage to watch the women. I was out, but I would have, and I was happy that it went well. And I also listened to Casey on the radio get up on Saturday. So I still got a little bit of a footy fix.
Oh, that's good to hear.
It wasn't too bad. I don't think they'll keep doing it because everyone's going to be angry about it.
Oh, no. The amount of people that have bitched about it has kind of shot the idea in the foot.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty busy weekend anyway with Father's Day and people generally have family commitments.
Yeah, that's
on,
true.
So it wasn't as barren as it normally'd be.
The big test will be whether teams choke after the week off. Whether the teams who win the first final because they've only played one game in 4 weeks.
Mm.
That'll be the really interesting thing. And I reckon if any team wins the first final, gets the week off and then loses the prelim, all the talk will be around that it was because of the bye.
100%. Irrespective of the fact that...
like whether that actually had anything to do with it. Yeah.
And they're not going to know if it was because the other team was rested, that minimised the advantage they normally get, or whether they were rusty.
Yeah.
Because
the fact that the
week off is such a help probably is worth more than it should be, in my mind.
Well,
so I don't mind a slight coming back.
You could argue it is a problem. It's pretty much impossible for a team outside of the top four to win it. And you could say that's a problem because it just means that there's four teams that are completely useless.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the current system. It's not awful, but it could definitely be improved. And I'm hoping this helps, but it's not going to last.
I think they can improve on it too. Like, they said their big festival of footy thing.
Mm.
And, like they had a bit, but you could probably add more into that.
They should put the Rising Star in there 1 week. The Brownlow should be this week.
Yeah, see... because that way you do that though. Like, that's just the tradition.
Yeah, but you can also get the interstate players to actually come down because they don't have an excuse.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool if we did it on a Saturday night or something, and everyone turned their attention to it because there was no footy that weekend. That'd be sick. But they won't do it because they just love the holds before the
and it stops thing. The fact that someone might get suspended in finals. It takes that out of the equation. But
that's
not
true.
Do
actually,
it. No more Corey McKernan's.
Mm.
Getting robbed.
Yes, all right. Or
just had to throw in a bit of my business.
Vendettas or
absolutely.
Vendettas.
But let's get to the bulk of the pod.
Yeah,
we hope anyway.
You're a bit angry here.
I'm a bit angry. I'm not a huge fan of the All Australian team.
You're really not a big fan. Like,
I'm not a fan of other people's opinions, to be honest.
That's true. Look, there's always going to be some things you disagree with, but they largely do a pretty good job. The All Australian selectors.
Yeah, like the majority of it, I do agree with. But I've got some issues.
Yeah, well, we know what one of them is. My happy moment, easily the happiest moment of the All-Australian selection was when they didn't...
There's a strong correlation between North not doing well and your happiness.
I let out a big cheer when they said Talia. I was very happy about that.
You sent me a text pretty much straight away.
Yep.
It was ridiculous. He's definitely one of my five changes. For the record, Tarrant averaged more disposals... more marks, more tackles, more inside 50s and more rebound 50s.
Stats, mate.
Yeah.
Talia just gets the job done.
Didn't concede any goals.
He gets the job, Lyndon.
Yeah, so does Robbie.
No, you can't use the who concedes more goals stats anymore. It doesn't work like that. With the zone defense,
it really annoys
you don't
me how you can't find any actual statistics on defensive like goals considered or anything like that. And like for most, it doesn't work. But with key defenders taking the number one forward, it's relatively simple.
It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't anymore. You can't, like, that'll always be a flawed way to look at it.
Yeah, but, like, there's no effort at all put into actually trying to measure impact on the defense. Like, Robbie Tarrant.
It doesn't all have to be about stats. Sometimes you can just tell that Talia is better than Tarrant.
No one with their eyes open.
You can just tell from watching the game, mate.
You even thought he should have been in this team.
No, I thought he would be in the team. No. I don't think he should be.
Deep down.
I did a prediction of the All-Australian. I bet a beer on it with a mate every year. We've done it for 3 years now. I was actually 2-0 down and I won this year, so that was quite important.
Pat yourself on the back, Scotty.
There was so much talk around Tarrant that I had to put him in. Like, I just thought they're just going to pick him. But I didn't think he necessarily should be in.
So you didn't think he should be in?
No, he shouldn't have been in.
You're wrong.
I'm happy with Talia in there. He's a very good defender.
He's very good. He's just not as good as Tarrant.
Yeah, but you're one-eyed.
Yeah, and right.
All right, anyway. What else do you want to bitch about in your team, mate?
Could you have a bit more positive, bring a bit more positivity to the pod, please, Scott? You're bringing me down. Enright being in doesn't belong.
Yeah, I'm not happy with you saying that.
He doesn't belong.
His second half of the year was awesome.
Yeah, and his first half wasn't, whereas the other two...
It wasn't bad.
It was average, which isn't all Australian.
But I thought it was better than average. It was still good, and his second half was so good that it carried him through.
No.
He controls games like no other defender, really. No. The way he can control a game.
That's not true at all.
When he is playing well, the game looks like it is on Enright's terms. He dictates the game. He reads the play, he takes a mark, and then he'll set up the play. He actually controls the game.
Okay, what... We're going back to stats. Doherty...
I don't like stats, mate, when it comes to defenders especially.
Doherty averaged more touches, more marks, more intercept possessions, more rebound 50s, and more metres gained. That's like covers every single aspect.
Doherty's a midget who runs. Of course he's going to get more stats than Enright.
He averages more marks as well. More intercept. Everything you want a defender to do, Doherty does better than Enright.
Not about stats, mate. Enright controls games.
So what you're saying is... Blindly, because I've known Enright's been a champion for a while, I'll pick him over the guy who played better than
him. No, I watched plenty of Enright this year, and there were many games in which I felt like he was by a long way the best player on the ground.
He doesn't offer as much offensively, and doesn't...
He barely misses a target. He makes the right option every time, and hits it every time.
Yeah, and he doesn't do as much, and he doesn't offer any run at all. Which I think is incredibly important.
But he creates it through his ball use because other people are running off for
him.
That's
not
true. Everyone has to be a runner.
Geelong had a real issue with ball movement off half back.
Oh, a real issue, did they, mate? They finished second.
Yeah, and they lost to Carlton, so obviously Doherty should have been in.
Now that's good logic. I can't disagree with that. You don't actually think Doherty should have been ahead of Enright.
Absolutely.
He was not better than Enright.
He was, clearly.
No, he wasn't.
And so was Simpson.
No.
Yes, both of those should have been ahead of him.
I bloody love Boris, mate. He's so...
I know you do.
He's so...
You are one-eyed.
Whatever, mate. Whatever.
Next up, I had Rioli.
Of course you were going to do that.
Rioli kicked 44 goals and had averaged 14 touches a game. Bruce had one less and averaged 2 more touches a game. That's a big difference, and I'd take Bruce over Rioli.
You take Bruce ahead of Rioli, would you?
Off this year, yes.
I wouldn't take Bruce ahead of him. Look, I don't want to particularly stick up too aggressively for Cyril. But, like, I knew he was going to be in. And I'm not shattered about it.
Yeah, I know.
I knew he'd be in.
Well, yeah, looking at the squad, which was a travesty. They only had 3 small forwards in. Of course they were going to get in.
If this is leading into a Boomer should be in discussion, I'm not happy.
No, it's not. It's leading into the next option could have been Steve Johnson, who kicked one less goal and averaged 4 more touches a game.
You and your stats, mate. I don't like it when you do research because you just start bringing out all these ridiculous stats.
Steve Johnson.
The big thing about Cyril, as everyone says, is he doesn't need that many disposals to have an impact on a game. Which is true.
Yeah.
People still...
But that doesn't...
People are still way too obsessed with him, but that is true.
Yeah, but Steve Johnson doesn't need that many touches to affect the game, and he had more of the ball.
I love Stevie. I think I would take Cyril in my team as Stevie. If I was picking a team to play, I'd take Cyril.
The next option, just one for my own heart here, Brent Harvey.
We're not having this discussion again. Yeah, I was right on that one. I was right on Tarrant. Ah, mate.
No, you're not, right? Anyway, but what I really think should have happened, they don't need Cyril in at all. They've already got Betts. They should have just moved the Bont, who averaged a goal a game, and put him on the half-forward flank.
I had the Bont on a flank. But I went with the whole... I thought they'd have a couple of midfielders on flanks just because they used to always do that.
Yeah.
Their issue now is they go that halfway thing where they say they pick a team as if they're going to play and they supposedly pick people in their actual positions. Like they did with Toby Green, which is fine. But they go halfway because you should have a second ruckman then. If you're actually picking a team to play a game, you would have a second
ruckman. Or at least someone who can pretend to play in the ruck, like Josh Jenkins.
Exactly.
But they don't at all.
As well. But yeah, I had the Bont on a flank, so I agree with that.
Yeah, so that's what I'd actually do because I think Cyril is not outstanding as a small forward because I just showed you there are guys that are at least comparable. And I think the Bont just affects the game much more, and I'd much rather adding in another midfielder.
Yeah, that would enable you to slot in another midfielder, which there are always going to be three or four unlucky midfielders.
Yeah, and I think Rioli not making it is an unlucky. He's not someone who'd be unlucky to miss.
But you just knew, like, people would be, not everyone would have been upset. There would have been a lot of people upset
if he did. Of course, because if he's not in it, there's not enough Hawthorn players in the team for everybody.
It's just Cyril.
Yeah.
Cyril is just
the man. He's a cult.
Yeah.
Next up, I didn't have Selwood in the team.
Now, this one I do agree with you on. He was only in to be captain.
Yeah, they realised we've got Sloane, but he's not even actually captain.
Yeah.
They didn't have any leaders, but that's not really that important. It's not about... There's no best captain criteria.
The point of the exercise, it isn't about playing a game. It's about honouring people for having a good year. And there were players who had better years than Selwood.
Yeah, 100%. The options I had were Neil, I thought was better.
Definitely wanted Neil in there.
Yeah.
He was so stiff.
As much as you don't like stats, he broke the record for possessions, which is a massive deal.
Yeah.
It's incredible, and I cannot believe he wasn't in.
Now it suits my argument. I like stats.
Oh, g'day, David King.
I like Lockie. I had him in the centre. I thought he should have been starting on ball.
Yeah.
He had a terrific year.
He was fantastic.
In a terrible team, he absolutely carried him.
And he's a midfielder that can play in any position, any midfield position. He can play on the wing as well as inside. He's not restricted to having to be... front and centre under the ruck.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had Treloar as an option.
I had Treloar on my bench in my team.
I think he had a fantastic year.
Yep.
I prefer the run he offers to Selwood's.
He is front work, massive especially, impact on a game compared to a lot of midfielders.
Yeah, especially the other players in this team. I thought Sam Mitchell had at least as good a year.
Yes, the first half of the year, he single-handedly carried Hawthorn.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of talk about that Sam Mitchell was stiff. People mentioned Neil and Treloar and stuff. Not many people mentioned
that's a Mitchell recency bias. They remember the last 10 games more than the first 10 games.
It seems like it. But he didn't drop off horrifically. He was still playing some pretty good footy.
He's still averaging about 30 touches a game. Yeah,
I had him in as well.
Then another one, bit out of left field, Coniglio.
Yeah.
I think he was very stiff. I think he is a fantastic midfielder who averaged elite ball-winning numbers, did well with the ball in hand, and was tagging at the same time.
Yeah.
The role he played was incredible and was almost the best tagging role we've ever seen. It was right up there when Kane Corns was shutting players down and getting 30.
Yeah, he didn't have the hype around him all year, did he?
Because he's stuck in the poor part of Sydney.
I think Jack Stevens, another one. He'd be stiff.
Yeah, but I had Selwood ahead of Stephen, but he's in the conversation.
I don't know.
Really?
He had a bloody good year, Jack Stephen.
Yeah, I don't know. So did Selwood, but I just didn't think good enough. There were the guys, and I had Coniglio as the one actually getting it, just because...
Yeah, really? You had him in? Yeah, no, I wouldn't have had him in.
The fact that he did what he did while actually shutting down players as well, I thought... put him over the top of players around him. He had an extra string to his bow that no one else had.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I didn't have him in, but I don't mind that.
Next up, I had... Well, because I'd moved the Bont to half-forward flank, I had another bench spot.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty much another one of the midfielders that we...
Yeah, we've just been talking
about. Yeah, so I went Treloar.
Yep, okay.
And then Matty Boyd.
Yeah, now why was Boyd in there? That was the biggest shock for me when they read out Boyd. What?
He was filled in a bench position that means you can give it to anybody, and they gave it to the fourth best small defender.
Normally they give it to four midfielders.
It should be four midfielders, because the importance of a midfielder is more than the importance of a fourth small defender.
Yeah. And you can, most midfielders you could put off half-back.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're actually playing a game.
There's plenty of midfielders that read the ball well enough. It's half-back is for midfielders that couldn't cut it in the midfielders. It's like being a gym teacher.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, so instead of Boyd, I had Neil.
Yeah, good. I'm happy with you having Lockie in there. Yeah. What do you feel about Toby Green?
Oh, absolutely should be in.
I wouldn't have had him in. I don't know. He just
Who would you have instead?
A midfielder.
You'd get rid of Cyril and Green. Oh, no, you're not getting rid of Cyril.
I kept Cyril. I had Cyril in my team.
But is this why?
I suppose he would have been... I would have had Bont there.
Yeah. Instead. So you would have had Cyril over Green.
Yeah.
Would you actually have Cyril over Green, or like, is this what you thought
would happen? It was what I thought would happen, but I think I would have Cyril over Green.
I wouldn't at all.
I kind of like the Green fact that they pick someone who plays it. Like, it's clearly his role, but if you... He's just not that exciting. He's just not that skillful. He's just...
I love watching him play. He's fantastic. He's their best forward.
No, he's not.
If he is.
He is not better than Patton and Cameron.
Like how Patton has just jumped Cameron in so clearly in your mind.
Patton's really good, mate. I really rate Patton.
Okay, across the year, so not concluding Patton because we can't give him...
Cameron's still a better player than Toby Green. No, he didn't have as good a year, but he's a better player. He's a better forward.
No, I don't think he is. Or not this year.
If you could pick one of Cameron or Green to play for North Melbourne... You would pick Jeremy Cameron every day.
Like. I was thinking about... I wasn't sure whether you were going to go... If you could pick one as you're building a team, or if you could pick one to... Because I think Green's better at what he does compared to the rest of the field than Cameron is.
So if you were picking from scratch, and you were starting a team and you could have one of them, you would take Green. Because you think you could get someone better in that position than Cameron.
Yeah, I think it's easy to find...
You just wouldn't.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I absolutely would. Green's playing like Jenkins is at the moment. He's just doing all the over-the-back stuff, not willing to put in any of the hard yards.
It's true, but he's still freakishly talented.
Yeah.
And he can tear it apart.
But I'd much rather have... There are more tall forwards I'd rather have than Cameron than there are small forwards I'd rather have than Green.
No, I don't agree with that. No, I don't think Green's had a terrific year, but I don't think he's going to do this for another five. Well, I think Cameron can still be anything.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, the potential of Cameron, I do agree, is bigger. But I think as a better player now, it's Green.
Sorry, fine.
A bit of disagreement's good on this podcast, especially when it's not just Melbourne and North Melbourne related.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've had some disagreements that aren't me just ripping into you about North Melbourne, so that's quite good.
Yeah, so who did you have changed that I didn't?
Who did I have? We basically talked about it, haven't we? I had Treloar in, I had Neil in, I had Mitchell in as well, and I had Jenkins in.
So yeah,
well, I had Jenkins in not because I think he's that good.
Instead of Tom Lynch?
Yeah. Well, no, him as a second ruck is why. Yeah. I expected them to pick a second ruck because they make this big deal out of we're picking a team that they're actually going to...
Yeah, but you agree with the fact that Lynch is ahead of Jenkins?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, those three forwards were absolute certainty. Like, there was no doubt that Kennedy, Lynch and Buddy would be in there.
Yeah.
I'd have Jenkins on a bench.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's too top-heavy.
You just need a second ruck.
Well, if you've got the other two key forwards, Tom Lynch is big enough to play second ruck. It's just because you protect him when you use your best key forward.
Yeah.
If we're thinking about midfielders can play half-back if they want, Tom Lynch could play second ruck if he wanted.
Yeah, probably. Well, Jack Watts did. So, yeah, it's possible.
But Watts is an incredibly talented number one overall draft pick.
When it comes down to, like, I had Jenkins in just because I thought the selectors would just be like, we just have to pick a second ruck. But when it comes down to it, I actually don't want that to be the point of the exercise. I think it's about rewarding people. And if you chuck a midfielder on a halfback flank, I don't care. If they had a better year than a halfback flanker, they deserve to be an All-Australian. Obviously, yeah. There's a limit to it. You're not going to put Boomer as a ruckman.
No.
But
he did get a hit out. I do need to keep saying this. Yeah, it's all right. Really impressive.
And Max cannot carry the ruck on his own. No. That's why we had to have what's rucking the year.
I mean, he doesn't run defensively normally.
Now, what's he does he now. Do? He's improved at that.
He has. I even saw someone commend him on it recently.
Mate, he's bloody good.
Yeah. When he's got no one to chase after, he actually goes backwards. It's pretty impressive.
Our biggest argument all year was Max versus Todd, and I won.
Yeah, because Todd was playing on one leg.
Yes, I knew you'd say that. But what doesn't matter, mate. I told you he's better, and he will be better, mate. He's only, 23-24.
He's 24-25.
No, I think he's 24. But
so we're both right.
I went 1 year younger just to try to make it sound any better. But like, he's had one preseason. He's going to be damn good, mate.
Oh, I look forward to it.
Best big man to ever play the game.
No.
M. Gorn.
Absolutely not.
What a man.
But anyway, let's move to an actual segment that we can rely on, we know is actually a real thing. Let's go to Pooch's mailbag.
We're going to mailbag, huh? Yeah. I don't even know where we're going from here. This is an interesting
one. Well, we can't do your segment because the whole point about your segment was forgetting games.
Yeah, I seriously thought about doing a gold jacket, green jacket. And then I thought, so what was the least memorable game? And funnily enough, I couldn't remember it. I decided it probably wasn't the best idea.
Good gag, Scott. I'm glad you put the forethought into that one. But first off the top, we've got about 4 or 5 from the Pooch himself. He got really bored at work.
Yeah, we're struggling a little bit this week.
We've actually
thank God for Poochie.
We've gone to the reservoir and gone to the cutting room floor. Some we couldn't be bothered answering when we had too many.
Yeah, okay.
Which was a rare occurrence.
Mate, so you're organising things well this week.
Slim pickings. No, he just sent me reruns. Sent them again. So, do Brisbane deserve a priority pick? I know you've got a... Yeah. I know you've got an opinion on
my
this
opinion
one.
Isn't whether or not they should get a priority pick. I hate the fact that we say the word deserve. The whole point of the bloody priority pick is that it's for shit teams. Of course they don't deserve it. They need to get it is the thing. But they did it with Melbourne. It was, Melbourne don't deserve it. They've managed themselves really poorly and that's why they're in this position. That is why you give them a priority pick. No one will ever deserve one. If you were giving them out for deserving it, you'd give it to Hawthorn. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, I will say...
So should they get a priority pick should be the question. It doesn't matter whether they're deserving.
I will say that I do think they are more deserving than you because they didn't actively tank.
And that's a separate argument.
And not really.
That wasn't the argument they used. It was about the fact that we had crap management and we drafted poorly. So that's why we're in this rut. We don't deserve a priority pick.
And itself. The fact that they had 5 first-round draft picks poached in a season. That one's a little bit out of their control. And that brings deserve into it a little bit. So I'll ask you the follow-up question then. Should they get a priority pick?
I don't think they're ever going to give one, really. Like, honestly, we've seen some clubs in the absolute shit in the last few years. And they've never given it out then. Why would they do it? Now, they should get rid of the whole option, I reckon.
They should, but while they've got the ability to use it, I think Brisbane are about as needing of it as it's going to get.
Yeah, but I thought that about Melbourne. I thought that about lots of clubs, and they haven't given it. Like, okay, maybe they should get one, but I don't think they will based on precedent.
Yeah, and Zorko came out and said, we don't need one, which was just stupid.
Just take it, Zorks. Just take it, mate.
You're going to turn down an elite young player for what reason? Why are you saying this in public? I absolutely think they should get one. There is much a rabble, as we've seen in a long time. And in terms of the AFL's mindset, I think there's a... If they're a Melbourne club, they wouldn't get one. But the fact that it's interstate club that kind of needs to be okay to survive...
They're a little bit worried about Queensland footy.
Yeah,
they are. Probably rightful. Like, they haven't been doing too well.
It's not been a banner year for Queensland football. But yeah, I think they should get one.
Yeah, well, look, if the option is there and they're being realistic about it, yeah, they probably should get one. But I don't expect them to, just because they just never do. They shouldn't have the option.
Fair enough. I like your reform package. Okay, now we've got an entire paragraph from the Pooch for this one, so I'm going to have to read it out.
Jesus.
He's not sure if it makes total sense, so you might have to do some deciphering as well. With Worsfold's comments over two contracted West Coast players, McKenzie and Brown, and consistent coaching interviews for finals sides assistant coaches, what can the AFL do to avoid the NRL-style movement that gets announced a year out? Add in the Ling Jong tour to Collingwood this year. Basically, what should be done to avoid in-principle deals during the season, and is it an issue?
I probably would have just liked the second limb to that question, Ken. What did Worsfold say?
Oh, he was like, oh yeah, they're good players, we'd like to get them. And, like, just actively courting them.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it's just gonna happen. We do need to grow up. Like, it's just gonna happen.
I don't think it's about growing up at all. I think it's about we're letting it happen. Just say, you can't, it's not allowed, and then they might still do it, but they're going to do it under the cover of darkness and out of the eye of the public.
But that's going to cause more of a stir, because then it won't just be discussing the fact that a player's leaving, we'll be discussing the fact that they're going against the morals of the game and going against the rules, and then...
I'm fine with that. A club should hate a player that decides to leave. It brings spirit to the game.
Yeah, no, the club can hate him, whatever, but... Like, is it really a problem for the game people are talking about it throughout the year?
No, the media love it because it's great for them.
The supporters probably love it too. It's just interest.
No, I don't like it at all. Every major sporting code has, like, when you're allowed to talk to players.
But do they follow it? Like, no. just accept what's going to happen.
That's fine. You don't have to... As long as you're not caught... That's fine, but if you're caught, you shouldn't be able to act like take a player on a tour of your facilities mid-season. That's annoying. You shouldn't be able to comment on other clubs' players and actively court them.
When I heard the Lin Jong news, my reaction was, that's interesting that Collingwood want Lin Jong. And that's how it should be. I don't particularly care about
the fact
that they took him into their
facilities. What if Jesse Hogan was...
I'd be upset about it, but I wouldn't.
With two years left on his contract, and they were actively undermining Melbourne's ability to keep him.
As a supporter, you'd be upset, but I wouldn't hate the other club for it. Like, I wouldn't think that it's a massive problem.
The rules of the competition should favour clubs being able to keep a player.
I like.
You should be able to move. But you should have the ability to retain your players.
We're in an environment now which we have free agency. We have the Players Association
and
pushing for
free
all this
agency
stuff.
Is dumb.
We're going in that direction. We might as well just
free agency
accept it
is
now.
Like structured poorly to begin with. Like
yeah, I don't like free agency, but you just got to accept it's
going
to
happen. We're
playing
a dumb man's game with the system they've got set up. It's just not well constructed at all,
and it'll eventually just become free for all.
They're picking and choosing which aspects, and they're making this. Everyone tries to make a horse, you end up with a camel. Some saying along those lines. They're doing the bad version.
Robin Peter the Pagel.
Nah, it's not biblical, this one. I saw this one in a movie. Actually, I think it was in Parks and Rec.
Cool, man.
That's story time with Rory. but yeah, no, I do not like it at all. And yeah, there should be a moratorium on when you can talk to players. And it should be in the trade period.
I don't see the point in enforcing it.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's where the world's going. And I'm not saying I like where the world's going, but you just got to accept it's going to happen.
You're just not as angry a person as I am. I think
You are a bastard, aren't you?
We don't have to get derogatory about it, Scott.
But shut up, Banjo.
Who's going to win the Rising Star?
If Oscar McDonald doesn't win it, there's something wrong.
But the AFL thought Jaden Hunt was your most likely eligible player, even though he didn't win.
We had four nominations, and our most likely player was someone who didn't get
that. Was the most ridiculous article I've ever seen. Who was it? Adelaide, they picked Malira, who wasn't nominated. Brisbane, they picked Matheson, who wasn't nominated. North, they picked Dumont, who wasn't nominated, when there was an actual
nomination. And it was headlined, the...
Rising Star eligible players. You know how you become eligible for the Rising Star? Getting nominated.
Yeah, that is a bit strange. But look, Mills will win it, I think. I can't see it going any other way.
No, and that's the way the media thinks it's going to go, and given it's voted on by the media.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where it's going to
go. I think it's pretty rare that we'll get a big shock out of the Rising Star. We'll generally know by the time it comes.
Yeah. Cripps and Hogan was kind of close, but enough people were making the harder to be a key forward argument.
Yeah, I was pretty confident Hogan would get it in the end.
yeah, you heard enough people saying, yeah, oh, centre half forward is harder to play.
Yeah.
Which is true.
It's a good argument.
Yeah. You think it's a good argument. Wonder good. Why.
We, early, halfway through the year, we did a rising star prediction. I remember we were both pretty big on Wietering. He dropped off a little bit, but like...
I'm glad you remember that. I was about to say I've got no idea who I picked.
No, we both said Wietering. It's pretty extraordinary what he's done. I think the fact that he's been a very, very comfortable player in a very difficult position.
The best key defender in a team that's been under siege the entire time and stood up pretty well.
Yeah, well, I'd like him second or third. I'd be happy with him.
I'd still take him going forward over Mills.
Yeah, yeah, I would as well.
I think that's shown he's had a good enough season and shown enough to be really,
yep,
really optimistic about him. Didn't you? Petrarca's still pretty high up in the betting for some reason. Don't think he's a real chance.
He hasn't done enough. He's at a role where he's like, he can do enough that people will be kind of happy with him, but he's not going to start playing as a link man forward.
I'm really disappointed there isn't more talk about Ryan Clark, but that might just be me.
Yeah, he'll probably play three games.
I think four or five.
And then got dropped. He was the only young player you were getting excited about at North.
No, Trent Dumont. Didn't you read the AFL article?
You weren't even talking about... You were just talking about Clark, and then he got dropped.
Trent Dumont's 21.
You guys are stuffed. It's so good.
No, we're not. 21 is too old to win, like, a Rising Star award.
Yeah.
It should be your first year playing games.
First year playing games?
Yeah, so if you don't play...
So if you debut that year.
Yeah. Best debut player, rookie of the year in the American parlance. That's what it should be. I'm seeing, like, Hanbury won it when he was 21 years old.
Yeah,
he was a rising star, but that's not what the award should be about.
I have more of an issue with the weekly nomination system than I have with that. I just don't. Yeah, that's not aimed at finding the best rising star. Aimed at just having something to talk about week to week, I think.
Like, yeah, and giving junior football clubs money.
Yeah.
Which is an admirable thing, yeah, obviously.
It is, but really we're meant to be fine. I think we're getting more and more excited about the Rising Star Award. Like, it's becoming more of an important thing.
Yeah, it's
getting to the point where just pick the best young player.
You've got to
Do we need this weird system?
You've got to find an actual, like a real system, not... I think this is a half-assed idea.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
They thought, oh, this will be a cute award and we'll try and figure this out.
But anyway, back to the question. Mills will win.
Yeah. Good tangent, Scott. Now, we've had this question for a while, and neither of us had a real answer for quite a few weeks. But who's the most improved player?
Yeah, well, the only reason we haven't had an answer is you put this thing over where I can't say Max, because he's been clearly the most
improved. I should clarify. Who's the second most improved player?
Max is by a long way the most improved player. So if I'm being biased...
You're not allowed to say Jaden Hunt or Jack Watt. No Melbourne players.
No, that's Jaden Hunt could be an argument. That's not the point of the exercise. The fact he'd never played before.
Yeah.
He has improved ridiculously.
Just because Melbourne...
Watts isn't a bad argument.
No Melbourne players. You've went from being a basket case to being okay.
Okay.
You get the club achievement award.
All right. The thought, though, I don't know exactly. Toby Green and Rampy, if you're looking at the All-Australian, I think you'd have to consider both of them. I like the fact Rampy's gone from being... having kind of a half role.
He was kind of like
being quite good at it, but now he is a very important role.
He was a poor man's Nick Smith for a couple of years, and now he's like the billionaire's Nick Smith.
Yeah, well, he's effectively as a key defender.
He does what Nick Smith was doing when he was All-Australian, then offers, I think he's had the most intercept possessions in the comp or something.
No, I think he's changed his role and become in a harder role.
Yeah, he's become the third tall defender
in
a side that is... down back, reasonably height challenged. He's so important to them, and he reads the play so well. He was a fantastic pick. He was off the rookie list.
Yeah,
he's incredible.
Yeah, he's done very well.
Toby Green, I think we've talked
about him. But if I'm thinking slightly out of the box, Membry had a very good year.
Yeah, that's very true. He was in the top 20 or 30 for goal kicking.
Yeah.
After being reasonably close to being delisted, I would have thought.
Yeah, borderline. And the other one's Aaron Young.
Yes.
He's had a very,
he's
very good
100%.
Year. There's still a lot of people would say who, but he's had a very good year for a player who was... He was max.
Well, he was about to get traded to Richmond.
Yeah.
For, like, pick 80.
Yeah.
Imagine sliding doors.
He's been an important player.
He has been a very important player. he's still one of those players who went, oh yeah. But
yeah.
So I looked at it, there's quite a few different types of improvement you can get. You can go from being good to great, and I think players that did that were like, I think Lockie Neal improved a really significant amount.
I feel like
and I think it's harder to go from being good to great or very good or whatever than it is from being okay to good. I'm more impressed
by like the point of the exercise when you do most improve is get a player who's no good and become an important player. Like, it's say, like, Patrick Dangerfield be like, nah, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, he has improved.
He's playing better than he did for the last few years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree that's what the award should be about because everyone else gets enough accolades. Yeah, so I had a lot of players, similar players to you. My boy, Aaron Hall, just a throwback. Not really, but a throwback. But yeah, there's a few players that were reinvigorated as well that we should probably give a shout out. Like someone like Steve Johnson improved on last year a shitload.
Yeah.
But given he came from being one of the best players in the competition, it's not really all that impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, who did you have overall?
I'll go with Rampy.
Rampy?
Mm.
See, I thought, I don't know, I didn't notice it as much. I thought he was, I think he was better in my mind last year than, I'm not sure how much he's improved in my mind. I think Green is more noticeable. He went from being almost cast off at
GWS to, but he was still, he had a role. Last year he was still playing.
Like he's kicked twice as many goals this year.
Yeah, obviously. He's obviously improved a fair bit. But
he's had such a weird
career. One would say Toby Green would be All-Australian last year. That's
very true. I was looking at his career, like, just going through it. He started off with 28, then had 22, then had 28, then had 22, then had 22 and 40 goals.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a very weird career. Like, he won the Rising Star, didn't he?
I think... Yeah, he definitely won the Rising Star.
He always had the issue where he couldn't kick, but in his first year, everyone was able to overlook that.
Because he got 28 touches in the game as a first-year player.
Yeah, he's a kid. Like, he'll improve or whatever. Mm. And then eventually Freo, like, nah.
I think he's been a bit like Matty Boyd, where with time and space, he's a much better kick, because Boyd wasn't a great kick.
I'm sure he's worked hard at it as well.
Yeah, obviously. But Boyd turned into a pretty good kickoff halfback.
He's a good decision maker.
Yeah.
And that'll allow you to get away with not being an elite kick. Because if you make the right option, you'll find a way to hit it, even if it's not a perfect kick.
Yeah, I think Green's got a similar skill set in that he's not going to pick someone out breaking away from a pack or anything. But when he's got time and space, he's a very smart footballer.
Yeah.
And so he can find the best option and the easiest option, most likely to come off option.
Yep.
Which sort of minimises his need to be able to hit someone 50 metres away on the run. Mm. It's not as important when you're as smart as he is and you've got space.
Yep.
Anyway, let's get to everybody's actual favourite segment. I say this a lot, but we're pretty sure this one's true. Yeah. It's time for Stringer's Innovation.
It's definitely my favourite segment, let's be honest.
This is one we can agree on. So, welcome to the pod, Stringer.
Welcome back, Stringer.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, no good ideas. Last time you nearly ruined the segment.
Oh shit! Well,
also be confident.
He's not as confident this time. It's not his best. But.
So he did try and cop out of it. He nearly drank, so he didn't have to come.
That makes it sound a lot worse than it was.
It makes it sound like slowly.
All right, come on, Stringer. What's your idea, mate?
I'm not in that dark of a place, mate. No. All right. Well. So you put out the call to come up with an idea, to come up with an innovation. And I was sitting there this afternoon thinking, what can I bring to the podcast? What do the plebs want? And I've got one. Well, no, because in the past we've gone rule changes, we've done sort of tactical innovations, we've got some media stuff.
Yep.
This one's
gone a completely new direction.
Well, it's not completely new.
He's innovating the innovation.
We've taken elements from. So, you know, there's a media aspect here. There's a coaching aspect. We've combined a few things for this one.
It's a hybrid innovation.
Yeah. Well,
this sounds incredible. My hopes are so high right now.
I was watching the Formula One last night.
All right.
Hey, no, this is he's thinking the exact same way everyone in the AFL thinks. We're going to copy something from another sport.
Exactly right. What I love about the Formula One is You can watch the race, and when the teams communicate with their drivers in the car, you can actually hear what they're saying, that they broadcast on the TV. So I thought, well, why don't we take this to the AFL? We'll have everyone, you know, you got...
You're not thinking of sounds of the game, are you?
No, we've got sounds of the game. We can develop on this, though. I thought, what if we take sounds of the game? We can, you know, we can have the players mic'd up, but we can also have the players with earpieces. And we can have the coaches directly giving messages to the players. We can have every player running around.
Okay.
And not only this, but these messages can be broadcast on the TV. We can listen to what the coaches have to say.
Okay. This is a better innovation for coaches than it is. No, the fact that we're broadcasting this.
I just thought that's another aspect that we could... it could just be interesting.
I'm not sure the coaches would be too much of a fan.
But the coaches... Like, the coaches work on the basis, just like in Formula One, that anything they say can be heard. And so if they want to say something in private to the player, well, they've got to take the player off, and we'll have, you know, the regular communication can still be annoying.
That's a fair bit of effort for the coach to decipher which message is worth sending over.
Think about how Brad Scott's going to deal with this. He's got no hope. And think about what he's going to say about the umpires over this. He's like, well, don't worry about it. That was a fucking ridiculous decision. He's going to get fined another $80,000. North Melbourne can't afford that.
Well, mate, there are some passionate coaches.
Brad Scott,
you are going
about
to
this
send,
before saying
you are,
it.
We know he doesn't have that capability. You are going to send football clubs broke.
Well, that's.
Do you think Brad's going to sit back and go, no, I need to calm down a little bit. Is this worth broadcasting over television, or should I?
No, well, not everything the coach says is going to be broadcast. Anything that they say over the. It's just going to be
So what they're going to do when they don't want something broadcast, they're just going to be dropping F-bombs so they can't legally.
No.
Why not? Why wouldn't, if I was like, I don't want this broadcast, this is too good, this is gold, this is a tactical innovation, I'm just going to say, fucking Jamie McMillan, don't do that.
Well, because, I don't know, we'll have it on a 30, yeah, we'll only have it on replay so that you can edit
out
the
F-bombs. You'll have a live beep.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, so you're saying it's the Channel 7 who are editing out things?
Yeah, if they weren't broadcasted.
That's dangerous.
It's definitely dangerous.
Why?
This is great for the fans. I don't think you're going to get the support from the players or the coaches.
I think that's it.
Well, the great thing about the AFL is that
they don't listen to the players
and
coaches.
They don't listen to the players and coaches.
That's a really fair point.
but the other thing, the sort of counterpoint to that is the AFL also hate the fans. So you're saying it'll be good for
the
fans.
That's true.
That's probably not a reason for the AFL.
Who does the AFL actually like? Other than money.
Money. We're just unanimous in money here, I think.
Gillen did his big, we'll help out the fans for half a year, and we haven't heard much about it since. But
I think they realised the fans still thought the AFL was shit, and they didn't change the fans' opinion at all.
Mm. But don't you think it'd be great to just hear what the coaches are saying to the players in real time?
I bloody love it, man. I wouldn't have.
Carlton has just referred the police to investigate IP being stolen.
Right.
I'm not sure they're going to want it broadcast over.
Well, then don't say stupid shit. Like, don't say things
but
you don't want
broadcast. But there's heat-of-the-moment stuff.
Well, have you seen these coaches in the coach's box?
That's something you got to control as a coach. I mean, in the heat of the moment, the coach might bag the umpire.
Good luck, Scott.
We don't have that depth of talent pool. We don't have coaches that can control what they say. We have two Scots coaching,
well,
not just one.
Self-control. I don't think the fact that coaches won't have self-control is a good enough reason for this not to be a good idea.
I think they're an important part of the constituency, and you've got to listen to them. And I don't think they want it, String. Anyway,
well,
what's the judge's verdict, Scott?
I'm the judge, am I, mate?
You are the judge.
Verdict. Oh, I don't mind it. Like, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's kind of too good to really insult.
It practically wouldn't work. Like, it won't go through.
No.
But it's not really.
And we've got enough with sounds of the game as long as Max Gawn's constantly mic'd up.
Yeah, they suck, though. Like, you don't hear anything out of them. You just hear someone grunting as he runs around the ground.
Yeah. Oh, when they had Brandon Ellis. That was awful. It's like, yeah, mate.
Yeah, okay.
That was it.
Yep.
I enjoyed Jamie McMillan because he had a bitch to the umpire for 5 minutes over a free kick.
The best thing ever caught over any microphone was the umpire mic when Frito was ripping into. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Basil like, Zemplis.
Are you kidding?
Basil Zemplis posted on his Facebook page a tribute to Michael Farida, which was just clips of him complaining to umpires. Yeah,
exactly. Now he is a flop.
Oh, he's a king. How big's his nose? Oh, what a man.
He must be a legend. He has a big nose.
Well, Bill Laurie, that's two. That's a correlation.
One of the funniest things I ever saw watching a game of footy was when the umpire, this is when I was much younger, it would have been probably about 10 years ago, and the umpire was trying to drag someone's mark back, you know, just a couple of steps, and the bloke on the mark was trying to argue that it was a metre forward of where it was. The umpire just turns to him and goes, "Don't worry, mate, he can't kick it from there."
That's fantastic. This would have been a better segment. Yeah. Top five things picked up over microphone. No, all right.
This is a very positive argument for Stringer's innovation, actually. The fact that we could just get some really funny, ridiculous crap said over it. I might have to change my birdie on reflection.
Yeah.
You've won me over.
Still have gags.
It's a shame you're not the judge, mate.
Takes you for gags.
Classic back flip, anyway. Rory. Do you have another innovation?
Yeah, if you want.
I'm happy to hear it.
I've got, what was the other one I had? I had...
Good radio.
Well, no, I had two others. One's really bad.
We want that one.
Okay. not many pitches start with this is really bad, but I just thought that, you know, we've got this is similar to the tap forward.
Oh, yes.
I thought we've got big, you know, big forwards. The big forwards. It is similar. A classic player of the AFL. It's very similar, actually.
Big forwards have done well for themselves.
Is the innovation the forward should mark the ball instead of tapping it?
No. The innovation, it's called the giant forward, and we're just going to.
It's just an extra tall player.
We're just going to scout the world for just, you know, Andre the Giant type figures, and just.
Isn't that what we're doing with the American Combine? Just.
We're talking less athletic. We're literally thinking we put people 15, 20 metres out in front of goal and have them stand there and take marks over players.
So the issue with the American Combine is they're too athletic. Not that they're not tall enough, they're too athletic.
I'm just talking like we want...
It's not working. Just go tall.
If we had massive kind of hulking figures there that were just
unbelievable. So you want Yao Ming?
Yeah, but like
this is too bad. Solid bands are even bagging about.
No, this is fantastic. You want Tony Lockett coming back?
Yeah, but like less mobile. I just want to put it like
Tony Lockett.
That's the criteria we've drafted. Nah, he's too mobile. He's too athletic. Not interested.
It'll turn.
Where is the biggest log I can find?
It'll turn the combine on its head. He ran it in under 320 meters in under 3 seconds. Ridiculous.
Get him out of here.
Absolutely no hoper.
Not interested.
Well, the other one. Are we a no on that?
No, keep going. We're definitely a no on that.
That one was already on the reject file.
Three innovations, do we?
This is the one I was telling you about before that I hadn't really thought through, but I just thought as an idea.
So which ones have you thought through?
What was the first one?
Tap forward.
No. The one. The umpire. Oh, not umpire. Mike. Player Mike.
Earpieces.
I didn't have a name for that.
Earpieces.
That's it. No. Okay. Well, this one is just a way to sort of shake up the draft and maybe get rid of. You know, none of us like tanking. So I just thought, but you know, it's
how do you feel about tanking? You're the only one who's actually lived through it.
I don't like tanking. Continue. Yeah.
We need a way to take away that incentive. I just thought there could be. I don't know. It's probably been done somewhere. Around the world somewhere, but a points-based draft system where the whoever has the first pick or, you know, gets however many points, mm-hmm. and then next pick gets one less, and so on. And you bid using your points for players.
So like a fantasy, American fantasy football draft, they do an auction where you... raise the stakes continuously. You have a bidding system.
You can bid for players.
So you can waste all your money.
In theory, Hawthorne last year could have picked up, you know,
Wiedering.
Yeah, Wiedering in this year's.
If they'd spent all their.
If they just used all their points.
That would be exciting.
It would.
I would watch it.
Yeah, the problem.
Not sure it's that fair.
Why not? Well, I think you could figure this out so that there's a fair, you know, it doesn't have to be the way you've
described it.
But I just thought
they're kind of going that way actually with the academy since everything the points system.
Yeah, I just thought I the thing I thought about it though is that the draft would have to run over several days.
Yeah, which is again just like
this conversation is far too serious. I'm sorry, fellas.
Well, maybe make a joke or something, Scott. Maybe liven it up a bit.
It's a serious, it's actually a serious suggestion.
It's not too bad. There's a little bit of merit there. It would definitely make it interesting. But as we've said, the AFL don't care about the fans.
Yeah, you're right.
But the benefit is it will go over more than one day, and they do care about the money.
They do.
So, you know, two polar opposites.
It gives Fox Footy something to run in the off-season. It's not just reruns.
Yeah. Games. Oh, you might be onto a winner here.
He's a genius.
There could just be a draft week. Just like trade week, draft week.
This is way too, like, possible.
Nah, I don't like it.
Alright.
Don't like it. Get out, Strand.
So what's the judge's verdict on that one?
No, I don't like it. Let's move on.
I'm going to give it my to give approval. It was interesting.
Oh, I've got approval, not just from Banjo. Nah, don't like it. Let's move on.
But anyway, let's get to the tips. We're not going to review what happened 2 weeks ago because we've already forgotten about it. I got West Coast Adelaide right, and it only went downhill from there for me. So I think I'm pretty much Lyndon in terms of our competition.
Oh, I've won, yeah. By a long way.
Would you have to get every single one wrong, like over the 4 weeks of finals?
I reckon, well, I was four up heading to last week, and I reckon you dropped another three or four.
No, because I got one right, so the most.
But didn't you do, how many upsets did you do?
Four. So I could have dropped two back at the most.
Okay, so I'm six up.
Well, we don't.
Whatever, I've won. Let's just do our tips.
West Coast Dogs.
I think we're going to be pretty similar on most of these tips. Yeah, West Coast will win.
Are we just going the home sides?
Yes, definitely.
So we got West Coast Dogs because it's in West Coast.
Look, I have no doubt about the two elimination finals. I think.
Unfortunately, neither do I. I read a headline: Adelaide fully healthy going into facing North. Fuck.
Yeah, you're in a bit of trouble. But West Coast.
Did show North the way to beat Adelaide. Make sure Rory Sloane's not playing. So, Ferrito. Nothing, no reason to not get suspended. He's not playing next year.
Genius, man. He'd do that too, that flog. He would do that.
No, he couldn't catch Rory Sloane.
Why are we talking about your game? West Coast Bulldogs. West Coast, I think, will win pretty comprehensively. The Dogs have surprised me all year, but I'd be really surprised if they put up much of a fight here.
I don't think they're getting enough cattle back to beat West Coast in West Coast. I can't see it happening.
West Coast, it's a pretty good form.
Very good, Nick. I thought when Nick Nat went down, they'd be Lyndon too, but apparently not.
No.
They're more than just a
one trick pony. They've got Jono Giles.
They do. The Western Fitzio, I think we described it.
That's so bad. Next game, Geelong Hawthorn.
Now for the Eastern Fitzy.
Now if you say Hawthorn again, if you say Hawthorn are going to win, I'll kill you.
No, they're not going to win. No, they're not. I'm not the one that thought they were going to win the premiership 5 weeks ago.
I never said that. I stuck with it. Geelong will win this game.
Geelong will win this by at least 5 goals.
I'll be really sad if Hawthorn get up.
They won't. Geelong, I'm predicting Hawthorn in straight sets for 4 times extra tipping. So if I get 8 tips if they go in straight sets. Deal?
No. Yes. Well, I agree to that. I really won. Geelong.
You're not good at this game show thing.
Mate, are you going to keep hosting?
In the last week, everyone can always win. It's got to be worth extra points.
It's no strings, Rich List.
It's absolutely not. Yeah, Geelong will win easy. And the most interesting final is Sydney GWS.
Now, I honestly give Hawthorn more of a chance of beating Geelong than I give GWS beating Sydney.
No.
But you know that I haven't been too keen on GWS.
No, you don't think Toby Green's that good. You're an idiot.
I don't think he's good. I just wouldn't put him in All Australian. But
you know nothing.
No, I think
Jon Snow of this podcast.
Mate, you are struggling. You are seriously struggling.
Oh my God, Sydney will win. I think they'll win by about 2 goals.
4 goals.
Oh, interesting. Adelaide North.
Oh, Adelaide by 200 points.
Whoever's closest on the margin wins the competition.
I'll be very surprised if this is still a game at three-quarter time.
Yeah, I think 5 goals is optimistic.
Yeah, agree. It's good. He's been completely beaten down into submission. He's so flat about it.
I mean, I'm learning to experience the life of a Melbourne supporter.
You're going to get used to it, mate. You'll be down bottom 4 pretty soon, I reckon.
We'll finish no lower than 10th.
That's where we'll be playing finals.
You, finals.
It'll happen. One day.
What happens when Max Gorn does his knee again?
And we got Jake Spencer. There we go.
It's Jack Fitzpatrick, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to make a joke about it. You kept the wrong Jake.
No, well, that wouldn't have worked. Anyway, wrap this up, you flog banjo.
You're so supportive, Scott. I love it. Anyway, thanks for listening to the 26th ever Plebs on Footy podcast. We have a Facebook page, which is probably how you found this. Or you probably found my Twitter. That's the other option. Scott doesn't have it because you're nice. But thanks for listening.